Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. As always, not Austin.
As always, as
is the tradition. Disclosure, recording this Thursday, releasing Sunday, so there's going to be quite a few playoff games between now and then. There should be... So we've got Pacers, Celtics tonight, which is Thursday. Then tomorrow's Friday, which will feature the Mavericks. Timberwolves, Mavs, and then yeah. I think Pacers, Celtics play again on Saturday. So there's going to be a few games in between when we record this and when it comes out. So bear with us. There's probably a lot that's going to change between now and then. Before we get into discussing the playoffs, which is really all there is to talk about. I mean, there's a few things to talk about. All the awards are out now, and I know we've like briefly gone over them, but I just want to run through them real quick and get your opinion on whether you agree with them or not. So Kia NBA Clutch Player of the Year, the winner was Wardell Stephen Curry.
Interesting.
Second place was DeMar DeRozan, third was Shea. It's Steph. Like, could you have probably picked someone else? Sure, but it's... Why what?
Shouldn't the clutch player of the year go to someone who's actually in the playoffs?
A regular season award has no bearing on the playoffs. Second place in DPOY was Victor Wembanyama, who was one of the worst players or worst teams in the NBA. It's a regular season award. It's based on your individual performance during the regular season. It's not based on team.
Could you please explain to me the name of the award again?
The Clutch Player of the Year.
So why is the Clutch Player of the Year not in the playoffs? That would be like the MVP also not being in the playoffs.
So
like you're the most valuable player on a lottery team. Good job, buddy.
Hold on, so it's almost like a statistical award.
You average the most points
in the clutch. So the top two players were Steph Curry and DeMar DeRozan, who each averaged 4.5 in the clutch. Steph was more efficient, though. He hit a higher percentage of shots. And yeah, less turnovers. Like, it's more a statistical award. It's just people vote on it. Okay. But Steph was, for all intents and purposes, like Amari Bailey, who played one game and scored 5 points in the clutch. Statistically, he's the clutch leader, but he played one game. Whereas Steph had 43 games that counted as points scored within the clutch. Which I don't remember the exact like rubric it uses. It's like games within a certain number of points within a certain amount of time remaining, and that player's performance in that time frame look, you're a baseball stats nerd. It's like something like that. Like, your on-base percentage of right-handed pitcher versus left-handed batter when the first baseman had a bad breakfast. Like, that's a stat you probably track. So, like, this one makes sense. Kia, Defensive Player of the Year. Rudy Gobert wins it. Victor Wembanyama is second. Bam Adebayo is third. Can't really argue with it.
Okay.
Do you have a quip on that one?
No. It's all good.
Yeah, because I was going to say the Mavs, like, just in the game yesterday, they went 14 for 16 in the paint when Rudy Gobert was on the bench, and they went 17 for 31 when he was on the floor. So he clearly impacts it. Kia, MIP, Most Improved Player. Tyrese Maxey, Kobe White, Alperen Sengun. If you listen to us, you should know we all pretty much disagree with this. This should have been Kobe White.
Agreed.
Not to take away from Tyrese Maxey, but Tyrese Maxey was already that guy. So, like,
At that point, why isn't Tyrese Halliburton on that list then? Quite honestly,
did he make a big jump from last season? I think he, like, pretty much averaged almost the same.
Okay, so then last season. Then why didn't he win it last season?
Didn't he win it last season?
Oh, did he? I thought it went to... Maybe he did. I'm misremembering.
Unless I'm... Did he not win?
I don't think so. Hold on.
He might have been second in voting. I remember him being in the conversation. That's the thing. Like, we'll talk about this, but like none of this.
It was Lauri Markkanen.
Okay, and you know what? Lauri deserved it, so I'm fine with that.
I don't know. It just seems like they're inconsistent with the.
I don't think if you are a player, like. I don't know what Tyrese Maxey's contract is, but, like, let's play devil's advocate here and say that Tyrese Halliburton won it. Because of the All-NBA votes, which we'll get to that in a second, Tyrese Halliburton's getting, like, $48 million extra just in his pocket because he's a max player and that was one of his stipulations. If you are already getting a max contract, you should not be eligible for Most Improved Player. Just a crazy thought. So yeah, we I think all disagreed with that one. Kia, MVP, Nikola Jokic won. SGA was number two. Luka Doncic was three. I think Jalen Brunson should have been in that conversation.
You know what? After seeing the way he's performed in the playoffs, I agree with you on that one. I agree with you on that one.
Like, he carried the New York General Hospital to the second round of the playoffs. Like,
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Granted, it's a regular season award, but he did that all season. NBA Rookie of the Year, Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, Brandon Miller. The thing is, like, if you go look at Brandon Miller's stats, because if you remember on draft night last year, Brandon Miller was selected second overall. And, like, fans were booing. Like, we talked about how it felt like a My Career storyline because they wanted Scoot Henderson. And that's not to say Scoot Henderson has been a bad player, but if you pull up Brandon Miller's stats for the season.
Oh, no. When the draft pick happened, I maintain I think Brandon Miller was my favorite pick out of everyone other than Victor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, any other year, his stat line gets you Rookie of the year.
Yeah. That one is bad. No, so, Charlotte definitely did good with that pick.
They made the right pick there, I think.
Yeah.
Charlotte fans should be very happy with that one. And it was a two-way pick. Like, Brandon Miller, offensively fantastic. I think over the last month he averaged above 21 a game. But he was also a solid defender. So, again, I can't disagree with any of that. Sixth Man of the Year. Nas Reed wins it, hands down. Not even close. Yeah. Malik Monk and Bobby Portis are 2 and 3.
Malik Monk has been a solid player off the bench, like consistently for a few years now.
Yeah, there was a time frame when I thought he had potential to be a starter, and I really think he's just kind of like one of those Lou Williams guys that
Jamal Crawford thrives.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford. Like, they're good enough to be a starter, but they don't play well as a starter. Like, they're way better coming off the bench for whatever reason. Maybe it's something in their head. Because the few times Lou Williams started, it was bad. It really was bad. Bobby Portis, again, he's a starting caliber player, and I don't necessarily think he performs better off the bench, but just the nature of playing with Giannis, you're coming off the bench at the four, my guy. Like, good luck with that one. Coach of the year, doesn't matter. It's based on record. The only exception was Jamal Mosley with the Orlando Magic at 2. Chris Finch was 3 with the Timberwolves. Coach of the year is entirely just record based at this point, unless you're doing something like pulling blood out of a stone like they did with the Orlando Magic. All NBA, first team, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, SGA, Nikola Jokic, and Jason Tatum. I don't really have an issue with any of that. Second team, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Kawhi Leonard. The only one that I kind of question is Kawhi. And I guess LeBron James is third team. I feel like LeBron, even at this point in his career, should be at least second team. But in that same vein, third team, Devin Booker, Stephen Curry, Tyrese Halliburton, and LeBron James, and Domantas Sabonis. Which, overall, I don't disagree with any of it. I feel like LeBron should be higher, Kawhi should be lower. But I also see the not wanting to have two players from the same team on the second team. All defensive team, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert, Herb Jones, and Victor Wembanyama. Herb Jones, the lone guard. Second team, Alex Caruso, Drew Holiday, Jaden McDaniels, Jalen Suggs, and Kobe White, or Derek White, not Kobe White, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Again, don't disagree with any of those. Jaden McDaniels is very, I don't want to say underrated, because I think if you're a basketball fan, you love his game, but like, because he plays on the Timberwolves and there's so much talent around him, he kind of just slips under the radar, which I guess from a defensive point of view is something you want to have your defenders be ignored. Derek White, I think, is going to go down depending on how the Celtics team pans out, because if they maintain the reputation that they have, whether it's true or not, of being a choking team, if this team wins not one, not two, but 3 championships or something like that, the Derek White trade might go down as one of the best roster trades of all time in any sport, because it has just paid off dividends. If you need someone to go out and get 30 on a random night, is Derek White. If you need to put someone on a player that's last game dropped 30 on you, you put Derek White on him. Or, you know, Drew Holiday, but you get the point. All rookie team, Chet Holmgren, Jaime Jaquez, Brandon Miller, Brandon Podziemski, Victor Wembanyama. Second team, Keontae George, G.G. Jackson, Derek Lively, Amen Thompson, and Cason Wallace.
Lively would be first team on any other draft. You think it should be Lively over Wemby?
Well, it's positionless.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
I think it should be Lively over Jaime Jaquez and probably Podziemski. I think Derek Lively, of all the rookies not named Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren, and I guess Brandon Miller, made the biggest impact on his team. Because the way teams are attacking the Mavericks with and without Derek Lively is completely different. And if you already have that kind of defensive gravity as a rookie, it's scary.
I agree.
Getting out of awards, NBA closed its investigation against Oklahoma City's Josh Giddey involving online allegations of an inappropriate relationship with an underage girl after coming to a similar conclusion to law enforcement. So basically, they've just been investigating it this whole time, and they decided, eh, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. OG Anunoby is allegedly testing free agency and considering contracts from teams besides the New York Knicks. Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And so
here's the problem with the New York Knicks.
What's that?
They don't know what they want to do. So first things first, like Jalen Brunson has like transcended. Do you remember Jalen Brunson from like the Mavs playoff runs?
It's I remember like night him and day. Being there.
It's like night and day, dude. He has improved like above and beyond like what anyone expected of him.
Except so here's the thing, the New York Knicks.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Where does Julius Randle fit in all this?
I think Julius Randle's a good second star to have. I don't like a team
that... I don't think so.
You don't see. I don't like Julius Randle as the centerpiece, and like this is definitely a time when Austin should be here because everyone knows, besides DeMar DeRozan, Julius Randle is Austin's favorite player in the NBA.
And...
But I think Julius Randle slots perfectly into that second star, third star role, maybe, on a championship team, because he's a plus defender, and he's a fucking elite scorer most of the times.
But you don't need elite scoring when you have Jalen Brunson. That's kind of the thing. Like,
that's fair.
His shooting is like very on and off. Like, if I'm not mistaken, it was either last year or 2 years ago, he looked like a good shooter. And then it took a dip. It's back in like the 20s and low 30s. Like, I don't know. I think you need more consistency around him. I think OG is a good pick, or not a good pick, but is a good player to match with Jalen. But they need more shooting around it. That's kind of the thing. They don't have enough shooting right now.
Yeah, not at all.
So I think this Knicks team kind of like needs a. Not a complete overhaul, but a mini overhaul.
Oh, they definitely.
So that it makes sense.
I think you'd need to build a team that has less injury concerns. Because, like, even with OG, OG is a player that I... Hold on, let me pull it up. Because I cannot remember the last time he played a legitimate full season, or even close to one. And that's not resting. That's... He was missing time with, like, leg issues and... Let's see. So this season, played around 50 games. Last season, he played 67. Season before that, 48. Season before that, 43. Season before that, 69. Season before that, 67. So, like, if those week and a half injuries hit you when it comes to the playoffs, that's your playoffs. That's wraps.
That's kind of what I was about to say. That's fine in the regular season because Brunson can carry you in the regular season, but it can't happen in the playoffs.
And, like, that's what happened here is he had that hamstring issue. And, like, the most... I don't want to say it was brave, but it was stupid. But it was also, like, impressive of him coming into Game 7 and saying, I'm playing. And he gave him 5 minutes. But, like... He was moving like he was 70 years old, and they ended up finally saying, you know what, this is just, it's too much of a risk.
It's not working. Yeah.
And they ended up sitting him, which, again, all the props in the world for giving it a shot. It's game seven. But if you're taking OG Anunoby as your second star, you're taking that risk that he might get hurt at the wrong time. And Angelo knows this. I don't necessarily believe in the term, like, injury prone. I don't think a player is, like, genetically predispositioned to injury. I just think the way some players play, is they're more likely to get hurt. Like Russell Westbrook, early in his career, we had concerns because instead of just dunking the ball, he tried to break the rim every time, and suddenly he started having wrist issues. Like, the way a player plays, you can tell if they're going to be hurt. Noji plays a very physical game of basketball, both sides of the ball. And he's freakishly athletic, so there's a risk there. That said, before we continue with OG, though, so ESPN sources, in approving a new WNBA franchise in Toronto, the WNBA Board of Governors voted 13-0. The NBA's Board of Governors voted 29-1. Only the New York Knicks voted against the expansion. Knicks are suing Raptors in case over alleged theft of proprietary information.
What?
It's really irrelevant, but what I'm saying is New York and Toronto are currently in a pissing match, okay? If OG goes back to Toronto, New York might invade Canada. But that said, I'm going to put my Homer pants on because from the sounds of it, OG was staying in New York until this week. Now there's a rumor he wants to test free agency, right? Right, right. The end of game 7, Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam approached OG and they're having a conversation and they have their mouths covered and they're talking to each other. And it's a pretty in-depth conversation. I'm just saying. OG Anunoby to Indiana would be a, you know, full circle moment, because where did OG go to college, Angela?
Do the Pacers even have the money to sign him?
Yes. So there's... there's two answers to that question. Do the Pacers have the cap to do it? Yeah, they could make it work. It would have to take some other moves, but it could work. Will Herb Simon pay the luxury tax?
No.
That's a different question. Because Herb has always said that if the Pacers were a competitive team, he's fine paying the luxury tax to compete. I would say Eastern Conference Finals is competing. Personally.
Yeah.
Besides that, like, it feels weird to me because I feel like New York is the perfect place for OG Anunoby. Like, that pairing with him and Brunson, like, when they were both on the floor, it worked so well. So I don't know if maybe there's something else going on, like, that we don't as fans know about. Obviously, I'm not gonna, like, create some scenario in my head and say, like, oh, this is happening, like, maybe he just realized he doesn't really like being under the bright lights. Like, it could be something like that. Because New York, it doesn't matter you're good or bad, you're playing in front of a sold-out crowd. And they're going to let you know if you're playing bad. Granted, OG Anunoby doesn't play bad, so, like, I don't know. But it's weird to me that suddenly, after months of it seeming like he's just going to extend in New York, suddenly we're hearing he is going to test free agency. It'll be an interesting summer.
I think the way the Knicks, it could be one of those things, because I think the way the Knicks were eliminated was pretty, pretty heart-wrenching, to say the least.
You know? Losing game 7 in the Garden to the Pacers while Reggie Miller calls the game. Yeah, that's,
so
the blast from the past.
The blast. So, I don't know how much stock I would put into it just yet. I think it might be an emotional inclination, but I mean, decisions have been made on emotional inclination, so I'm not going to completely disregard it. But I do think that it's more of the way they lost kind of just stings. I don't blame him.
We'll kind of see how things go once we get into the
off season. I don't think a healthy Knicks team loses to that Pacers team.
No, not at all. Well, so. On paper, because anything can happen. The Atlanta Hawks in 2021 proved that. Like, you can be the worst team and still win it. Like, that's the thing about the NBA is it's harder to screw up because you have a 7-game series.
Yeah, 7 games, but the better team usually wins out.
But it's not to say it's a guarantee, because the Boston Celtics have been the better team, 5 times now? They lost. And so I guess time will tell. It's interesting to already have some off-season news to talk about. Granted, for 90% of the NBA, it is the off-season now.
Yeah.
So I guess it shouldn't surprise me that much, but as a Pacer fan, this is my first time in 10 years that I've actually been like invested in the playoffs as more than just not a pundit. I don't want to use that word.
You are a pundit.
But I as a fan, I don't know, because like, I'm going to watch playoff basketball no matter who's playing, because I fucking love it, but this is the first year I've been like heavily invested in a decade, so I guess we should talk about the playoffs now. Let's go ahead and start with Pacers Celtics, because I feel like that's one that we all generally agree on. So game one, which is the only game that's been played to the recording of this episode. Pull it up. Load. There we go. Game ended 128-133 in OT. So, it was kind of a heartbreaking loss for the Pacers. They won pretty much until the last 2 minutes. Boston came out really strong. Pacers, I think, missed their first 7 or 8 shots. It was like 0 to 14. Before the Pacers finally scored, Pacers came back and they just kept hitting the Celtics hard. And that's what we've kind of seen from this Pacers team all year long. Like, they just keep the pace up the whole game and kind of challenge you to get out and run with them. And to see these two teams, because this was the 1-2 offense in the NBA, just go back and forth all game. It was a lot of fun. We got down to the last 2 minutes and a couple costly turnovers by the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton dribbled the ball off of his leg. Andrew Nembhard on the throw-in.
It's that lack of play experience. Go on.
I don't know that. I think it was just that's just kind of the way it was completely out of nowhere, okay? Because Rick Carlisle's got playoff experience. And Rick Carlisle, at the end of the game, didn't call a timeout with Pascal Siakam, did not get separation from Jaylen Brown. Andrew Nembhard's inbounding the ball. I'm questioning whether that should have been Tyrese Halliburton inbounding it, personally. Nembhard has to throw the ball in because there's no timeout. Brown is able to deflect it. Siakam still tries to grab it. He ends up knocking it out of bounds. Pacers are up 3. There's 4 seconds left or 6 seconds left, something like that. Jaylen Brown hits a tough shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing.
It's a great shot.
It was a great shot. It, like, granted, Siakam doesn't have his hands up, but Siakam's there. There's pressure on the shooter. It's an off-balance 3. It's a big shot. There's a lot hanging on that shot. And Brown sinks it. So we kind of had this conversation in the group chat. And, like, for me, I don't have a problem with the loss necessarily. Because if you're going to lose on a shot, and it's a tough shot, and you've done everything you can, he just hit a good shot. Like, it wasn't that he got lost in coverage and was left wide open. it was just he hit a really, really, really tough shot. That said, going into game two, if the Pacers are to are able to keep up that same pace and keep that shock and awe that they've done all postseason long, because this is how they beat the Knicks, this is how they beat the Bucks. Now, granted, those teams were injured. They're still good teams.
My hot take is I think if the Pacers take that game, I'm not sure the Celtics are recovering. It just changes the whole, like, mindset and dynamic. Yeah,
because there's that storyline behind the scenes that the Celtics are chokers. So if they blow that game, I think if the Pacers take game one or game two, there's a solid chance they win the series, and that's weird to say to me.
Not after that. I don't think you can go through that as the Pacers and come out just guns a-blazing game two. Go ahead.
I think the reason you can is because you've spent the entire season being kind of shoved to the side, right? So a few seasons ago, I think it was two seasons ago, Miles Turner was asked in an interview about the Pacers' success during a 10-game run. And what he said is, y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play because you shouldn't be surprised by this. And that's factual. If you look right now, I think it was ESPN's Twitter. They tweeted, one of these duos will win their first ring together. Kyrie Luka, Tatum Brown, Kat and Ant. Three teams. There's four teams remaining in the playoffs, and they've just completely invalidated the Pacers. And that's one thing that this team does really well, especially Tyrese Halliburton. He kind of takes that and says, okay, you're disrespecting me, and I'm going to make your life a living hell because of it. And then he goes out and chases 40. So if the Pacers win game two, I like their chances to close it out. Because I said before that until Kristaps Porzingis comes back, Miles Turner is just going to feast. And that's what happened in that game. Miles Turner went 9 for 13 from the field, 3 for 4 from deep. 23 points, 10 rebounds. An interesting thing for me was the free throw discrepancy. Again, the Pacers kind of get shafted on the whistle, and I'm not going to call it a conspiracy, but it is a little weird that the paint scoring can be 58 to 56. Celtics scored 58 points in the paint, Pacers scored 56, and the Pacers shot 3 free throws during regulation. Celtics shot 21 in regulation. So it's weird to me that there's not the contact on the other side. I mean, if you're going to swallow your whistle during the playoffs, I totally get it. But if you're going to call fouls, call fouls.
This is another reason why I don't think the Pacers have much of a chance.
Right. It is hard to overcome because, like, the NBA does not want two small market teams in the NBA finals. And you're getting a small and a relatively small market out of the West no matter what. Because the Minnesota Timberwolves are a small market team, and Dallas, as big of a city as Dallas is, it's not necessarily a large market because Texas is split between three teams. It's kind of a medium-sized market more than anything. So they definitely want a team that has the reach of the Celtics in the finals. Do I think Adam Silver's like pulling the strings to manipulate it? No. But the Celtics also don't win this game if the free throw discrepancy is that far apart.
Okay, so I want to talk about that real quick. Because when... So corruption in the U.S. does this thing where, like, there isn't, like, a handshake deal, but, like, politicians understand, I got a donation from Chevron, let's enact policy to...
benefit them.
Help. Yeah, I think that's kind of the same thing where, like, There isn't a handshake deal. Like, Adam Silver's not going, okay, now, this game we want the Knicks to win. This game we want the Pacers. I just think they understand. They understand the assignment. Then that's why you'll never prove it.
Yeah, no, it's not something that they're sitting in, like, a bunker in New York under NBA headquarters, like, discussing the plans and all that. I think it's just the league knows that
I'm an NBA employee. This is best for the NBA. That's what they know.
Right. And you can't blame the refs for a loss because you won this game if you inbound the ball. Because you make one free throw, the game's over. And they didn't inbound the ball correctly. Or if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't dribble the ball off of his foot. So, like, your job as a professional in a small market is to overcome those odds because they are not in your favor at all. And you've just got to produce, and the Pacers didn't. Like, the Pacers did, like, 128-133. It's not like this game was a blowout, but it was demoralizing. I will say that. But I'm not mad about it because they won off of a Jaylen Brown tough shot, and he hit it. Again, he wasn't lost in coverage. There wasn't, like, bad defense played. They played good defense on it. He hit a good shot, and he deserves the credit. I think one thing we're bad as sports fans is doing is saying, oh, the Pacers blew it. Yeah, you can say that. But I'm more apt to say Jaylen Brown hit probably the biggest shot of his career. And that could be true for his entire career. That is in...
Might be, yeah. We'll see.
So, like, I would rather just give credit to him as opposed to saying, you know, Pacers blew it, even though they did. What is... Again, listeners at home, we are recording this and only one game has been played, and we made an agreement that our predictions would not change regardless of the outcome of game one. What is your prediction for the rest of this series, including who do you think wins the MVP of the series? Because we reward MVPs for conference finals now.
So I had the Celtics winning before. I still have the Celtics winning. I think the Pacers come out lackluster game two. They go down 2-0. I think game three is where we see what the Pacers have. I could see a scenario where they are demoralized from the game one loss and the fact that they're down 2-0 and they just fold there and go 3-0 and then that's the series. But I'm going to give them a little bit more respect and I'm going to say they bounce back and win game three, then lose game four, then win game five in Boston, and then lose game six.
Interesting. And who do you have taking the series before we get to the new arrival? Or who do you, MVP of the
series? I about to say, I already said who I had this.
No.
Chalk is Jason Tatum. You know what? After that shot, I think they're going to be incentivized to give it to Jaylen Brown.
Regardless of the rest of the series? Because, like, Jaylen Brown could fold for the rest of the series.
He could, but I still think if he performs admirably, they're going to give it to him just on that game one shot.
Welcome to speech therapy with Angelo.
Yeah, I suck at English.
So, for me, again, I'm biased. I'm picking the Pacers, and I'm saying in seven. With Tyrese Halliburton taking the series MVP. The realist in me understands that is unlikely. The realist in me agrees with you. It's a 5 or 6 game series to the Celtics. But I can't, like, that. I wouldn't be a fan if I didn't pick my Pacers. I think that it's going to be, I think the series is going to come down to if the Pacers can maintain winning at home, okay? And the Celtics obviously win at home. And it comes down to a game seven. I think the series is going to be dependent on Kristaps Porzingis. I'm not saying he's going to win MVP, but I think he's the key piece here because I think that when you have players like Pascal Siakam.
I think when he comes back, it's just going to feel like it's over.
Dependent.
That's why winning that game one was
so important. Now they are saying he's expected to come back around game four, game five at the latest. So yeah, you definitely want to get a head start before he returns, but at the same time, coming back off an injury, there's going to be some rust there. So who knows? Because it's weird. The Pacers match up so well against most of these teams in the East because they have a player of Miles Turner's caliber, and I do think Miles Turner is one of the more underrated bigs in the NBA because he can shoot that 33-foot three-pointer, and you also can't go over screens because he's just going to slip and cut to the rim, and Tyrese Halliburton can make that pass in his sleep.
This is not low-key what made the Cavs so disappointed. Now, granted, Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen went out, so you can't, you know, predict for that. But the Cavs have two of those people. I'm not saying, like, they're better than Miles Turner, but Evan Mobley and Jared Allen together are better than having just one Miles Turner.
Yeah.
That's why it was so disappointing seeing them go. So. But anyway, go on, sorry.
Well, Austin has decided to join us tonight.
Hello.
Up. So we're discussing, we're only on the Pacers series. We've had a whole episode of arguments and debates and stuff, but do you want to chime in with your predictions for Pacers Celtics and who do you think wins the MVP of the series?
So I still think that the Celtics are going to choke, so I'm going Pacers in seven. And I think the MVP is going to go to Nembhard.
Nembhard. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's my question to you guys, because both of you guys picked the Pacers in seven.
Yeah.
If the Boston Celtics are going to choke this series, why do you think it's going to get to seven games? Like, why don't you just go out and say it's going to be Pacers in six? Because that's the scenario. If I was going to pick the Pacers, I would pick them in six, quite honestly.
So I think it comes down to home court. Okay. So it's kind of the Knicks situation all over again. I think home court stands until the end of the series, and then the choke comes at home at the end of the series. I think both teams win both of their games, or their first three games at home.
Here's the thing. So when you say Boston Celtics choke, what series are you talking about?
They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals five times. They've been to the finals one time.
Correct. So the series against the Warriors, did that go to seven?
No, was that five?
No. The series against the Heat last year, did that go to seven?
Wait, the Celtics wouldn't play the Warriors, would they?
No, this is
in the finals.
We're talking about
the chokes themselves.
Okay, I was about to say, wait, hold on. Okay.
The choke series themselves.
Austin thought he just fell into like a fucking wormhole.
I'm struggling to think of the series the Celtics quote unquote choked that went to seven games. So and they choked it in game seven. I'm not saying there isn't an example. I'm just saying recent memories.
Last year they lost in seven.
To the Heat? I thought it was six.
No, they lost in seven. It was 4-3.
Okay, never mind.
Six was the Warriors. Lost in the first round of the Nets 4-1. That one hurts. Lost to the Heat 4-2. Lost to the Bucks 4-1. Lost to the Cavs 4-3.
Okay, so two games. But that's what I'm saying. They don't have as much of a history as losing in game seven is just going down early.
As heavily favored then as they are now.
Against the Heat, yeah, they were. Probably more.
Yeah, I do agree with Angelo there.
I'm talking about the other ones, not the Heat.
The other ones, yeah, for sure. Like, versus the Nets. Granted, they were the 7 seed that season, but still, you have a team with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and you're paying Jaylen Brown $300 million.
So the reason I think it's Game 7 is the Pacers are by no means, we all agree, the better team.
Right. Even I.
But I think the Celtics, that's why I think they choke in seven, is they're going to fight. The Pacers are going to put up a fight. And then the Celtics are going to fumble in the most crucial moment.
So what I said...
This might be sacrilege, but I'm going to say it. I think the Celtics have a better starting lineup than the Pacers. I do think the Pacers are deeper than the Celtics.
Oh, for sure. I think the Pacers have one of the deepest benches. And keep in mind, Benedict Mathurin is hurt.
Yes. And that's a key piece.
It's a key piece. And this Pacers team is deep as hell. And I think that's kind of the thing that surprised everyone, because the bench players, they normally, when you switch from your starting unit to your bench unit, the tone of the game kind of shifts. The pieces don't necessarily keep playing the same. The Pacers bench arguably plays faster than the starting unit. And that's kind of what has
hit teams. I think the problem, like, the Pacers have matching up in this series is that they're set up to defend the guard-centric teams or the big heavy teams with Miles Turner. They're not necessarily set up from the wings.
Now, Aaron Nesmith, for sure, can guard the wing. But after that, you're right, especially with Benedict Mathurin going down, because he's not taller, but he's strong. It's like a Marcus Smart situation.
The Celtics' best players are both players. So.
No, that's a fair point, but the Pacers' best defense all season long has been literally the most efficient offense of all time. We'll see how it goes. I'm just saying, like I was saying earlier, Austin, before you joined, I think that the Pacers have this chip on their shoulder, because, like, if you look at ESPN, they were talking about they posted a picture, and it was one of these duos will win their first ring this year, and it was Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. That's three teams, and there's four teams remaining. So, like, the media is basically saying, all right, the Celtics are winning the series, and that's what happened with the Knicks, and that's what happened with the Bucks, and, like, suddenly everyone's kind of, I don't want to say pissing the Pacers off, but, like,
I don't.
They're taking it personal.
Homie, like, I'm not saying they're not playing great, but, homie, the teams you beat lost both their top stars in that series.
Yeah.
Giannis and Dame, and then Jaylen and OG.
Knicks were already missing Randall.
Yeah, and Randall. Let's not,
I mean,
yeah,
injury OG. Luck. Like, injury luck is part of.
Oh, not Julius sports. Randall.
I told you. We were talking about Randall
Austin
earlier.
Austin missed the segment where I basically said that the Knicks should just soft reset.
Soft reset? More like control alt delete.
No. Soft reset because you've got Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Threw
the computer out.
If they. Jesus Christ. If the Knicks lose OG Anunoby, then maybe blow it up and just build around Jalen Brunson. What's a terrible spot to be in, I guess.
Do you think that Jalen Brunson is going to be kind of like the next wave of Dame, where the team just never figures it out with him?
So it's either
that's kind of my
that,
feel.
It's either going to be that or the next Mike Conley. Like, just someone that, like, everyone wants to win. And then just.
So Chris Paul.
No. I said everyone wants to win. Here's the thing, though.
Like, Jalen Brunson is a way more explosive scorer. It's harder for those guys to be held down if you got the team right than it is for, like, Mike Conley to be held down. Or Chris Paul.
Look at the Cavs, though.
The Cavs lost their two best. Well, not their two best. But yeah, no, you could argue. The Cavs lost two of their, like, three best players in that series.
Who'd they lose? I know they lost Jared Allen.
Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen.
Oh, that's right. Mitchell did get hurt. I completely
forgot. Yeah. Yeah,
Mitchell
they were
got
rolling.
Hurt. They were the rolling. Game. That's he was there for most of the series. That's it's not revisionist. This, like, granted, it's the closeout game. It's the one that matters. But
yeah, but they were rolling.
Time will tell. We tip off is in an hour for Pacers Celtics. So I guess by the time this episode comes out, three games will have been played and. One of the three of us, because we kind of have different opinions. I think they take tonight. I don't think Austin thinks they take tonight. Angelo thinks they lose tonight. Right? Pacers. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we all have different takes.
I think there's a real chance that the Pacers don't even or barely get past 100 points tonight. And that's not enough.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. So yeah. I think they're going to come out that bad.
You think the statistically best offense of all time or highest scoring offense of all time doesn't even break? Okay.
Yes.
Yep. All right. That's a take. Going to the West. my notes from the opening of the episode, I skipped one. So we're going to do that real quick. Speaking of the Cavaliers. Cavs have dismissed Coach J.B. Bickerstaff. Bickerstaff led the Cavs to conference semifinals and won 99 regular season games over the past 2 years. Change comes with hope of advancing deeper. That you kind of felt like that was coming. Like it feels like we are on the cusp of massive changes. I mean, it doesn't feel like we know we're on the cusp of massive changes in Cleveland. Because one of Donovan or Garland is not on the team next year. We know that to be true.
Yep.
It'll be.
I think it's going to be Garland. We'll see.
I think if you are running the Cleveland Cavaliers, you have to make the choice of Donovan Mitchell. Like, this is as someone, I love Darius Garland's game. Donovan Mitchell is head and shoulders above Darius Garland.
Agreed. Yep.
And if you're taking the pick, you're picking Donovan Mitchell every time. Now, granted, he has to re-sign, so it's kind of a two-way street. But I feel like that has to be your go-to. And there was also a story. Apparently Jared Allen's not happy with the Cavs either. Because there was a leak that someone in the Cavs organization, like in terms of like coaching or ownership or whatever, sent a memo out or something and basically called Jared Allen soft for not playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's something Cavs ownership would do.
Yeah. So like there's a chance that you also don't have Jared Allen next year.
Well, we already saw what happened when we didn't have either of them. So it's not anything that I haven't already seen. So. Oh, man. So here's what's going to happen to the Cavs in the offseason. Donovan Mitchell is gonna slight us, and he's going to sign elsewhere. Jared Allen then is immediately going to request a trade. We're going to move him, and then we're going to go through basically yet another mini rebuild with Darius Garland and
okay.
Evan Mobley.
Crazy thought. As a Central Division team, how pissed would you be if the Pacers took Bronny James in the second round and signed LeBron James?
Oh, that would be so funny. I'm not going to lie.
Like, I don't think Pacers fans would be okay with it. Like, I would. I would absolutely
be LeBron in a Pacers jersey would be weird as fuck.
It sounds weird. Like, I'm actually going to do it on 2K later just to, like, see, but I feel like I can't imagine it, like, mentally.
He'd look good in the yellows because then you'd just be similar to the Lakers, but the blues, yeah.
That would be weird because he's always, yeah. I mean, the purple's close to it, but didn't the Cavs have a blue jersey, though, at one point?
Yes, when they first drafted him. That's actually my favorite logo, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... Granted, it's got the red and the gold on it, but...
Mm-hmm.
You could... It's still... Hold on. Is there... Hold on. LeBron and... Let's see if it's on... Oh, yeah. You can... I am so confused looking at that.
What, the rookie year LeBron jersey?
No. You can Google LeBron and Pacer jerseys because, like, there's all those articles, like, what would LeBron look like in different jerseys? And I don't. Oh, no. I'd like it as a basketball fan, but I don't like that as a LeBron or Pacer fan. Nope. Stay away. Dallas Mavericks, Minnesota Timberwolves, 108-105 in game one. PJ Washington has continued to be critical to this series, or these playoffs, which I didn't think anyone would say. He had 13 points in 41 minutes. Stellar defense. Luka did Luka things. Did you know Luka's shooting like 86% from around the rim? That's crazy to me.
Luka's such a bad matchup for everyone because he's so freaking big. And
yeah.
The way he plays isn't like a fast game. It's more of a getting to your spot kind of game. It's in a way, it's kind of like the way Kobe played, except
closer to the rim. He sees where he wants to go and he goes there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And no, like, you can't stop him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you do stop him, like, you're going to look at his hands and be like, oh, where's the ball? And he threw it like behind his back, under his leg, half the court distance, and there was straight to the shooter's hands.
Yep.
Kyrie, again, stellar game, 30 points. I am concerned by the amount of minutes that the Mavs are playing to start the series, because Luka and Kyrie and PJ Washington both played all three played above 40.
I'm not going to lie, I'm so fucking conflicted on this series, and I still don't know who to pick.
Yeah, that's...
I just have some statements.
Anthony Edwards did not have a great game. I mean,
that was going to be one of my statements.
The Timberwolves really didn't have a great game. They had
seven. Can we acknowledge something? Figures. So, were we a little bit too quick to annoy Anthony Edwards? Because, quite honestly, if you look at the closeout game, if you look at the closeout game that the Timberwolves had on the Nuggets, if I'm not mistaken, even the last two games, Anthony Edwards really didn't go off like that. It was more of the team around him. He contributed, but the team around him is really what secured those victories. So I think the hype to say, like, Anthony Edwards is the next Kobe, he's not there yet.
I still don't.
He could get there. I'm not saying he couldn't get there, but he's not there yet.
I still don't necessarily think it's a bad take, because
I think Luke is closer to that than Ann is right now. And game one kind of confirmed that.
I don't know. It's tough because, like, it. Granted, he only played one series in the previous two seasons, but Ant has played three cycles of playoff basketball, and he's averaging 28.1 per game. I guess tonight and Sunday will be kind of telling games for whether or not it's true.
By the way, I also think I haven't looked at too many things, but the things I have looked at says that the Timberwolves are going to take this series easily. I think we're not looking at the Mavs well enough, just as a general scope.
No, I think that's it's kind of a mirror of the Pacers Celtics, where the Pacers are kind of getting ignored.
I think the Mavs are a lot better.
For sure. I think just by the nature of having Luka, the Mavs are better, and that's scoring wise. I think Luka and Ant is pretty close. I think Luka just makes everyone around him so much better that you're gonna have games where, again, PJ Washington is gonna drop 30 on you, and you have to live with that. I expect a much better showing from the Timberwolves tonight or tomorrow. That said, you lost home court advantage. How big do you think home court's going to play into this season, the series? Because Luka took over the fourth quarter.
So I'm just going to go back to my common thread. Luka and the Mavs have a lot more experience in this round of the playoffs than and then the Timberwolves do.
Now, do you think so? I don't necessarily. How I'm trying to think of how I want to word this. So, the thing for me that's questionable from the Timberwolves side of the game is Ant came out and said that he's guard, like, he wanted Kyrie. Like, Kyrie was his match, right?
Yep.
And as athletic as Anthony Edwards is, Kyrie Irving's probably got the best hand, not probably. Kyrie Irving has the best handle of all time. Yeah. And no matter how big and strong and athletic you are, Kyrie's going to make you look like a fool. And yep. I go back to USA Basketball, young Kyrie, and he's yelling at Kobe, like, you are going to guard me. Like, you're not going to be able to lock me up. Like, this is practice. You're not going to treat it like practice. You're going to guard me, and you're going to get schooled. And he did. And that's kind of concerning for me, because if they continue to do that, like, as great as Anthony Edwards is, he's not going to be able to guard Kyrie. And that's not because Kyrie's some world beater. It's just Kyrie has the best handle of all time. He's going to break you down, get to the rim, and then find the open man or score himself. Because he's also one of the top finishers of all time. And that's kind of what we saw in that game one. Kyrie kind of took over the entire first half. Luka started heating up in the third, and then it was Luka Doncic versus the Minnesota Timberwolves in the fourth quarter. For this series, I've got the Mavs winning in six, with Luka taking the MVP. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Kyrie winning it. I think it's going to be kind of a wash. It's going to be who's going to have more moments. I think statistically they're going to be very similar. I think it's going to come down to what have you done for me lately with between those two. But I do think the Mavs take the series. And I think that game is going to be kind of the defining game of the series, was game one.
Yes, sir.
So all this motherfucker has is yes, sir.
Go ahead. You know what? I'm leaving. Austin, go on a diatribe. Go ahead. Please tell me about the Mavericks.
Someone else make a prediction, please.
Why do I? Okay, whatever. I mean, what the hell do I say? Ren just said all the shit. What do you want from me? I think the Mavs are going to win in six. I think they'll win in six. I think Ant will drop like 47 one quarter.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
What?
Imagine you just, like, I don't know, browse the fucking Reddit and you get an NBA app notification that Ant dropped 47 and a quarter. You're turning that on immediately.
Not a quarter, a game. But I think Ant will go crazy. He'll have a game. But I don't think the Mavs will be stopped like people think that they will. And like Angel said, we're not looking at the Mavs as closely as we should. And I take offense to that.
Do you think part of it is because... hold on, let me pull it up. So, do you think part of that is Luka has been in the league for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years now, and we haven't seen that kind of dominance that, like, we see it in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't seen him kind of own the playoffs like we think he should every year? Because every year, there was a joke when we were recording our preseason predictions. I don't think it actually made it into the episode, but it was in the group chat where Angelo said, Ren predicts Luka to win MVP for the third year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that part of the reason pundits are overlooking the Mavericks is partially due to the fact that Luka really hasn't had the success we expected him to have?
So, yes and no. Yes, he hasn't had the success that he should have. But he also hasn't had the team that he should have.
That's true. That's fair. That's fair. That's very fair.
Like, he hasn't had really a center. Like, there was that really weird time with Kristaps there, if I'm not mistaken. But that just didn't work. But he hasn't had a good center to actually play with. And Lively and Daniel Gafford, who saw that coming?
PJ Washington.
Yeah. So I think he has the team that's built around him to the point to where he can be dominant. And then, like you said, if he gets locked up, he's throwing it behind his head 50 feet down court, and it's an assist.
Yeah.
He has the people to make the plays to help him. And then Kyrie can be that extra little distraction that forces people to choose, who do you want to go off, Luka or Kyrie? And a lot of the times it's both, because they start to, Luka goes hot, so they focus on Luka. And then Kyrie is like, okay, my turn. And then they just swap off.
Fair. That is Angela, why, do you have any?
The Mavs are going to be, that's why they're the sleeper team, I guess. Shithead's not even here.
He literally dipped.
Yeah.
He must have had to go to the bathroom. Well, while we're waiting.
Did Austin do his diary?
Oh, yeah, there you are. Yeah, we had a whole conversation, actually, about, like, why we believe the Mavericks are being slept on, and you missed it.
Good. I'm glad.
I don't want your opinion on it, because your takes are terrible, but basically what we said was that, or what I said as a question was, are the Mavs slept on because Luka's been in the league for 6 years, and while he dominates the regular season, he hasn't had playoff success? And then Austin said yes and no. Luka hasn't had that success, but he also hasn't had the team around him like he does now. So people are kind of saying Luka's, or the Mavericks are...
What?
It makes sense. Listen to it, and
it, like, doesn't make sense. The Mavericks have been in the playoffs every year.
They've been.
Luka came back on the Suns. They've been to a Western Conference Finals. They have, like,
wait,
more playoff experience than fucking the Timberwolves.
Hold on. They have.
Yes, they beat the Suns.
Hold on, Austin. I need this one. I need this one. Hold on. So Angelo is making a Conference Finals a successful season.
When your competition is the Minnesota Timberwolves, yes. That's my whole argument. Why are the Dallas Mavericks, who have continued playoff bursts and continued playoff success, being underrated against a team who just now finally figured it out? Explain it to me. Make it make sense.
I mean, I don't have an answer. That's why exactly. I was phrasing it as a question as to, do you think it's because Luka has not had that same level of dominance.
He's had more success than fucking Ant.
He's also older than Ant, or at least been in the league longer than Ant.
Ant's been in the league 3 years. Luka's been in it 6 years. So I think there's definitely a conversation to be had there, because it doesn't make sense, because this Mavericks team is good, and we all know that, and I think every basketball fan on the planet knows that, but for some reason, the ESPNs of the world are like, the Mavericks are the next to lose to the Timberwolves.
Jordan incarnate.
Yeah,
that's
where I
see everywhere is Jordan incarnate.
We're too quick on this. I love Ant's mentality, but we're way too quick on this.
He has the mentality. Okay, so he has the mentality for it, and he's got the talent for it. What we're unaware of at this point is the intangibles. Like, does he succumb to pressure? That's the question.
He's been in, like, two playoff series, Ren.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Anyone who's been in two playoff series could succumb to pressure.
I'm saying we don't know yet.
We don't know how much he'll succumb to it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know, like, is this going to be, like, a career thing where no matter how long he's in the league, game sevens or closeout games, he doesn't
perform.
Curious
if the Timberwolves, like,
lose this. Let's say it's embarrassing. Let's say it's like 4 or 5 games. I don't think it's going to be like that, but let's say it's embarrassing. Let's say it's 4 or 5 games. Do you think the tone that we talk about Anthony Edwards changes? Yes or no?
I think it depends on what happens.
And I think it depends on what he does.
30 points and the rest of the team is lagging behind. I think we still
get that hasn't happened in like 3 games, 4 games, dude.
Asked the question. I'm just saying that is when it could happen, is if Ant is doing everything he can and the team's letting him down.
And let's be clear, in a closeout game, Jimmy Butler had like 15 and Caleb Martin had 39, and you're all like, Hemi. So, like,
yeah.
To answer your question, no, it's not going to change anything.
Right, but Hemi won. Ant would be losing.
Once the hive mind has something set in its mind, it's stuck there.
Like Joel Embiid for MVP.
Right, like Joel Embiid for MVP. Again, Kendrick Perkins gaslit an entire voting demographic into giving Joel Embiid the MVP, and then he literally said, I was just trolling. That happened.
And this is why I sleep easy at night, because I too wish I could have that power one day.
Like, just imagine just going on TV saying the dumbest shit and getting paid for it.
Millions of dollars. Seven figures, baby.
I feel like that's all sports broadcasts now.
It's mostly ESPN at this point. Stephen A. Smith is, and Skip Bayless, both of them. Like, Wilbon, great. I do like Michael Wilbon, but like ESPN as a whole, it's the 24/7 pundit machine. Hot take, so you retweet it. Look at what this guy said. Like, that's all it is at this point. I don't know. Angelo never made his predictions. Angelo, make your prediction so we can get out of here.
Mavericks in 6.
MVP?
Luka.
Do you want to elaborate on any of it? Wait, are we all picking the Mavs? We all picked the Mavs.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not crowning the fucking Timberwolves. Are you fucking kidding me?
Thanks for ruining the Mavs' chances, Angelo.
Angelo's hatred for Rudy Gobert runs deep.
Is he your Julius Randle or DeMar DeRozan?
I don't think anyone can be anyone's DeMar DeRozan. Austin was making a build on 2K.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Austin was making a build on 2K yesterday, and we were talking about it while he was doing it. And, like, basically the way he was describing it, I just said, oh, so you're making DeMar DeRozan. And he even just stopped. He's like, you know what? I'm deleting it. Like, he just stopped making it immediately.
And I did. I changed it.
Till it didn't say DeMar DeRozan.
It didn't even say DeMar DeRozan. It was just the style of DeMar DeRozan. And I said, nope. Not having it.
Unbelievable.
What were you saying, Angela?
But no, I was watching a video about Rudy Gobert and how he's like overly hated on and there's no one in his camp. Fuck you. Like, the dude has 3 DPOYs averaging like less than 10 points a game. Get the fuck out of here. He's been given his goddamn flowers. He's been given enough goddamn flowers.
I do think there is a level of hatred for him that it comes across as irrational because we don't in general like Rudy Gobert, and it, like, the COVID situation and the contract.
That proved he was a moron. Yes.
Right. And the contract and the trade. Like, are those valid reasons to, like, say he doesn't live up to that contract, that trade? Sure. But you're kidding yourself if you're saying he isn't a starting center and one of the best defenders in the NBA. Is he an offensive liability? A little, sometimes. He can hit that standing oop really well. But I do think there is a bit of irrational hatred for him. And I'm guilty of that too. Like, when we do our top 10 centers list, the man just won DPOY, and I still haven't decided where I'm going to put him. It's probably going to be pretty low, though, if it's even on the list. So I think that's something we have to be better at. I think that we, because we're in the era of positionless basketball, and we look at a center and we say, okay, you can't shoot from 10 feet plus, you're a waste of a contract. But there is value to a player that shoots as well as he does at the rim and also protects the rim as well as he did.
Yeah, you just got to find someone like Cat.
That's yeah, you have to, you have to have a stretch big with you. And you also have to play defense like in a certain way, like built around them, like funneling.
Funnel it into it. Yeah.
Yeah, the verticality.
Verticality.
So I agree and I disagree. I do think that there is a bit of irrational hatred towards Rudy Gobert, but I do think there is warranted dislike for Rudy Gobert. The COVID thing alone, like, yeah, absolutely dumbass. Contract, like, I can't fault him for getting a good contract in the trade. I do think that trade has worked out for the Timberwolves, so I don't say it's a bad trade. At the time, absolutely, that we were all lambasting it and calling it the worst trade in NBA history. But if it ends with a finals run and potentially an NBA championship, I can't really say anything bad about it because he was a key piece to that.
I don't know. You guys got anything else?
I got nothing. Oh, you got Austin.
I got nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, guys, if you like what we do here, leave a little comment, like, subscribe, follow, whatever your platform lets you do. If you can leave a review, leave a legitimate one. I'm not going to tell you. Give us a 5-star just because you like us. Give us the review you think we actually are warranted of, and let us know what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right, that sort of thing. Comments are always open to suggestions. Follow us on socials. I think Alex is actually doing Twitter, correct? So follow us on all socials at No Reserves. We will be back on Sunday for sure. We might be back before that with an early episode if something breaking happens. Angelo, what is happening on football this week?
The football from episode
Sunday,
already dropped.
From Sunday. From Sunday. From Sunday. This episode's coming out Sunday.
I was about to say, what do you know what's happening this week? It already happened,
Jesus
buddy.
Jesus Christ.
Fourth wall shattered.
But no, we're probably going to start ramping up our in-season, like, predictions and in-season reviews.
So if that's your thing, if you're into football, check them out. You never know who's going to pop up on that.
True that.
Besides that, I don't have anything else.
On football, you never know who's going to pop up. On basketball, you know who isn't going to pop up.
No, Austin pops up. We just have to remind him, and then he jumps in halfway through it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, guys, have a great week. We will see you next Sunday, and Austin, Angelo, will see you on Thursday.
Thursday.
We might see you before that. You never know. Hit the notification bell so that you know. See you later. Love you. Bye.
Fuck Rudy Gobert.